and welcome to episode 426 of Awards Daily's Water Cooler Podcast. I'm your host, Clarence Moy, and I'm glad to be back and joined by the other two M's. So M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Megan, we'll start with you.
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin. You can find me on Twitter at Hey, well, you can find me on X at Hey Dude Rig, I guess.
A different topic for a different podcast. Yeah. Joey.
Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. Hey guys, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's great to be all back together.
It is. I was just prepping for the podcast and I realized the last one that we did was the Emmy nominations podcast on July the 12th. I can't believe it's been that long.
Wow.
But, yeah.
Yeah. But real world stuff happens and we go along the best we can. So thanks to all our listeners for your patience and understanding. So you guys doing well?
Yeah. Can't complain.
Excellent. Excellent.
Trying to think of anything new that's going on that I've been doing a rewatch of 30 Rock, which I've really been enjoying. Yeah. And, laughing my butt off at Dr. Spaceman. I think he's my favorite character. And Tracy's my favorite of the main cast, but Dr. Spaceman is my favorite, like, side character of all time. I just love him.
That's funny because that is on my list to rewatch. It's on Peacock, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's on my list to rewatch. But I needed last week. I needed some laughs, so I ended up rewatching Mean Girls.
Oh, that's a classic.
It is a classic. It's very, very good. And then I got sad because I'm like, Lindsay Lohan, what have you done?
She's gonna make a comeback, I think, maybe. Maybe.
Well, she's going to be a mom, so we'll see.
Yeah. She just had a baby, I think.
Oh, she just had one.
That's I think right. she just had the baby, yeah. Well, you know what's funny, though? I was watching 30 Rock, and they were talking about when Jenna wins, like, some sort of award for, I think it was for her Mystic Pizza movie. That's like a movie based on a musical that's based on a movie or so, or like something like that. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that's Mean Girls now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. So, our main topic this week is one of our favorite episodes, which is to break down the Emmy nominees for main title design. One of our very favorite categories where we kind of try to figure out what, you know, of course we talk about which ones we like the best. We talk about the merits of each, but then we try to go and predict which one is the Television Academy actually going to go for. And 9 times out of 10, we're wrong because Stranger Things. That's all I'm going to say. Stranger Things. But this is one of our favorite debates here. So I'm very much looking forward to that. And of course, we'll close with the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. But before we do, I just want to take a few minutes because this news just broke today that Paul Reubens, Pee Wee Herman, did pass away. And I thought I'd give both of you, I know both of you really adored him. So give you both a chance to sort of talk about what he meant to you as an entertainer.
I know he meant a lot to you. Yeah, Joey, you go first.
I think that my abandon in my the volume in which I speak, and we have a roommate who is moving out in 2 weeks. His name is Zach, who's guested on this podcast before. I feel like I'm realizing, even though I know how loud I am as a person, sometimes I feel like I forget how loud I am as a person. And I feel like I got that directly from Paul Reubens, aka Pee Wee Herman. Pee Wee Herman, I think that is responsible for a lot of my personal love of really, I don't want to say childish, but like whimsical,
campy stuff. Or I know I like campy stuff.
Puppetry stuff. I was at work today at my day job when I heard the news, and I was working with the newest person who works with us, who is 21, 22. And he had no idea who Paul Reubens was. And I said, you're probably too young for Pee Wee Herman. And he said, he looked it up on his phone. He was like, oh yeah, I think I've seen him. And then he was like, what's Pee Wee's Playhouse? And I was explaining Pee Wee's Playhouse. And I was like, literally everything in that show has a personality. And he looked at me with the biggest side eye that I that I've gotten in a while. There's just, I would say the voice that I give my dog Neville is a very specific cross between Jude Law's youngest daughter from The Holiday.
Oh,
and,
yes.
and the whininess of Terry the Pterodactyl from Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Oh my God, you're right.
So Pee Wee Herman, I think at a very young age watching that show, literally, sounds so cheesy, but like, taught me that like anything that you have in your, that is around you, like I'm in my podcast room, that there's a bottle of water, a little desk fan, a mug, a lamp, they can all have personalities, and I can make up a show with these five things on my desk, and it would keep me entertained. So I feel like he really taught me to not be shy, to be stupid, and everything can be sort of magical and crazy and childish. So I was very upset all day.
Megan, go ahead.
Yeah, I was very sad too, because I grew up watching Pee Wee's Playhouse. My brother was a huge fan and had the Pee Wee doll. I don't know if you had that, Joey.
Oh yeah, I had one.
And we had even little Pee Wee figurines, like little Jombie. And my mom and dad also always showed me the 1981 special on HBO, which is where I posted, like, they do a medley of Sly and the Family Stone songs, and it's so good. And so I grew up watching that too. So I was really sad because he meant so much to people, and you could see and all the tributes and stuff, and the fact that he apologized in his, you know, on his behalf, knowing he was going to pass away, and saying, I'm sorry that I kept this, you know, and it's private. But I also understand, given like that he had, you know, his privacy invaded, you know, when, you know, in the early 90s. So with something that happened, but I just feel like, wow, it's thinking about between him and Sinead O'Connor, it's like two kind of fixtures if in the early 90s that were also, when I say, I don't want to say controversial, but maybe they were, but they were also just ahead of their time. Yeah, they were ahead of their time too. And it's just weird to see this happen, both of those losses back to back from each other.
I will say there's a thing, one of my favorite John Waters movie is Serial Mom. Mm-hmm.
And oh, that's a good one.
I just rewatched that a couple weeks ago with a bunch of friends who had never seen it. And I remember Ricky Lake's character always goes to the swap meet to sell stuff. And someone gives her a Pee Wee Herman doll. And they're like, oh, wow, this is so crazy. Like, you know, Pee Wee Herman is somebody that John Waters totally would have loved. And it's his Christmas special, I said this on Twitter, whenever like Jason pulls out the like 80 movies that Christmas movies that we quote unquote have to watch before the end of the year, whenever it's my turn to pick, the first one I always put on is Pee-wee's Christmas special. And that special taught me about so many celebrities at a young age. Like, that's where I learned who Whoopi Goldberg was, and Grace Jones and Dinah Shore and all these people, the people wouldn't know, quote unquote, know today. So it's going to be, it'll be sad when I have to pop that in next year, this year.
I also grew up, well, I mean, I think I was a little bit older than you guys, obviously, but I also watched the show and maybe a little bit less impactful than it was on you guys, but I always appreciated when he showed up in movies. I'm not just talking about, you know, obviously Pee-wee's Big Adventure and Big Top Pee-wee, but you know, when he had the cameos in like Buffy the Vampire Slayer or in Batman Returns, springs to mind, or Mystery Men. He's really fun in Mystery Men.
Or 30 Rock.
He's great in 30 Rock. Oh,
Yeah, I saw somebody tweeting about that episode today, actually. That's what made me want to watch 30 Rock again. So very sad. Of course, everybody should respect his privacy. I think the last thing I will say is the most I ever respected him was the way that he owned up to what happened in that porno theater in Florida and came back on, I think it was the MTV Movie Awards, where he, whatever award show it was, he came up on stage and he goes, anybody know any good jokes? And I mean, I think it was just such a classy way to put yourself back out there and not just sort of hide for the rest of his life. So, you know, we'll miss you, Paul Rubin.
Yeah, I one final thing. I'm just astounded by so many people are saying how what a great guy he was too. Mm-hmm. And a lot of celebrity, like I saw Carrie Kenny Silver. She posted like a message they had sent to her in January for her birthday. And it was just so lovely. And it's just really great to see, even though he's not around to see it. I'd like to think he's looking down on us and seeing all of these tributes because they're really beautiful.
Absolutely. Okay, let's jump to our main topic, which is the Outstanding Main Title Design 2023 Emmy nominees. Of course, we're not going to talk about the fact that the Emmys aren't going to happen this year. They're going to happen sometime in freaking January, but that's what's not...
Or November. We don't know.
Gotta
hope that could be a whole game. We can all predict when it's going to happen.
Anyway. The 2023 Emmy voting will still continue this year in the originally scheduled window of August 17th through August 28th. And they will be voting on this category. The nominees are, there are six nominees this year, but the nominees are there always six nominees? This felt like more this year.
Last year
there were seven last year. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it must be like a you know, jury thing.
Really robust year for main titles.
Yeah. So the nominees this year are Guillermo del Toro's Cabin of Curiosities, Hello Tomorrow, The Last of Us, Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power, The White Lotus, Sicily, and Wednesday. And what we'll do here is we'll just describe each of them. Of course, they're readily available on YouTube. But we'll talk about pluses and minuses of each, and then wrap with who we think is the front runner to win. Joey, I want you to start with Cabinet of Curiosities because I know you love this show.
Yeah, so Cabinet of Curiosities, I think what this main title design does is it's an anthology series where every single episode is a different story. It's introduced by Guillermo del Toro. So I think this one does a good job at kind of hinting at what all of the stories are about. It's very dark. Like I think at the beginning, like the doors open and there's like the actual Cabinet of Curiosities. And, you know, we go through all these like dark corners, dark caverns. We see artifacts all through it. I think it does a pretty good job of representing what the show is. You know, there's like, I think at one point we fall down bones and skulls and we go through one and, you know, it's kind of like macabre and sophisticated all at the same time. So it's interesting to see this one against something like, Wednesday, which we will talk about. I think this one's better than that one just because I think the texture is a lot better, but, I think it's a good representation of what the show is.
Yeah, and this one reminds me a lot of Game of Thrones, the way that it kind of navigates through the cabinet and it reveals individual things and they kind of, you know, move around. They've got some symbology in there and, you know, it's not a map like Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. The camera navigates through the map, but this is kind of navigating through the cabinet itself. It's probably my second favorite of the group. Megan, what did you think?
Yeah, I like this one too. I do feel like there's some sort of like Game of Thrones effect where all of these were really strong, by the way. I thought they were all, my least favorite is Wednesday, even though that's also a very good one. But
I'm sorry, Megan, you were wrong, but continue.
Oh, you like that one?
No. That's not the lead. That's not the worst one here.
Oh, wait. Well, then what if the that I like?
I'm sorry. I interrupted you. I interrupted you. Please. That's continue. Fine.
I thought they were all pretty strong, but I do feel like there's like a Game of Thrones effect where it's like, let's open this up and it becomes bigger. Like, <Yeah. laughs> and I feel like that. So after a while, I was like, okay, I've seen this before. Like, that you can tell there's definitely like a trend, which they're all gorgeous, like amazing main title designs. But it's also like, okay, we can see that. Like, let's look inside the cabinets. But I thought,
are you curious?
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm anxious to know which one you didn't like, which I kind of think I know which one it is, even though it was one that I couldn't stop looking at. But I also felt like it had nothing to do with the main thing. But we probably get to that.
I'm glad that you mentioned the Game of Thrones effect, because I do feel like there is this sort of, the camera is swooping around these things, yes, and now we're going to play with this item. Then we're going to stop and we're going to swoop a little bit more, and this is going to grow. And, you know, maybe not in all of them, but at least in three of them, it definitely feels influenced by those titles. And ironically, House of the Dragon was not nominated here, which I'm glad it wasn't, because I think their main title design is actively bad. But
I don't know if I've seen it. Now I've got to go check out this actively bad.
Well, it's very confusing because it's very steeped in the Targaryen lore, and you would not know at all what it's talking about just from looking at the main credits. You have to go and do research to find out. And it's
the fact. I really wish you could see how hard I rolled my eyes at you saying Targaryen lore.
Laughing also because that means, like, after you watch the main title sequence, you're like, I gotta crack open a book. I've gotta go do some research.
Well, I mean, it's and you can't see it, basically what it is it's in a some sort of stone cavern, and a river of blood, the bloodline, flows through these rocks, and then it stops at these medallions, and each of the medallions apparently represents a Targaryen king, and it goes from medallion to medallion as it flows through, and you know, that's just it. I mean, it's just, I don't know, it just has, it feels the most it feels like the most obvious,
subtle, is it?
Yeah, exactly. And it just, anyway, but we don't want to talk about that. It wasn't nominated. I'll talk about the next one, Hello Tomorrow, Apple's Hello Tomorrow, which is, I think it's visually one of the best ones here, because I think it's really neat. It's got that whole sort of 1950s sci-fi vibe to it. It's like if you took all your Jetsons toys and you lined them up and just took the camera from bottom to top, you know, and then had a rocket shoot off at the end, that's what it would look like. I love that 50s sci-fi decor vibe that this is giving me. I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen the show, so I don't know how well it applies to the show. Obviously, it's, you know, I assume that it has something to do with the show, but just looking at it as a separate piece of art, I think it's very well done. I don't know that it's brilliant or amazing, but I think it's a lot of fun to me. What did you guys think?
I thought the same thing. I thought it was like, and the music was, it made me intrigued about, because I forgot Hello Tomorrow existed.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And so I mean, with so many shows on, but I was like, oh, maybe I should check this out. So that, if that's the goal with a main title design sequence, like, then they totally sold the show.
Yeah, it's successful. The show is canceled, by the way. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, it did.
Yeah, it did get canceled.
Oh, well. The thing is, I like this one. I was excited to watch this one because I hadn't checked out the show. I guess I'll never check out the show now. But I kind of wish it wasn't just them lining them up. It's like, because I was just like, oh, is this like a catalog for appliances? Great. But I like all the imagery. I like the colors. I like, you know, I like the shape of all the things. But I was just like, okay, of all the things you're going to do with all these nifty 50s things, that's what you do. Cool.
Well, I thought it was canceled, and maybe it's not. So I take that back. I thought it was. I'm looking at the list of this Apple TV shows that have been canceled, and it was not on it. So I'm sorry. You should still check it out, I guess.
Yeah.
I will definitely watch it.
Save it, Joey. Save it. Yeah. Megan, do you want to talk about The Last of Us, a show I don't think you've seen? Oh, no, you did.
Seen two episodes. This one is another one that reminds me very much of Game of Thrones, where it's like, only it's with the, was it spores? Like, let's watch everything like grow and stuff.
Fungus Among Us.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That should have been the name of the show. But it was fine. I like the ending with like the focus on the two of them, even though they're not the last. There's more people. Like, I know that. Like, so it's not the Last of Us. But I thought this one, it was the most that I was like, okay, this is clearly like trying to be Game of Thrones. But it was very nicely done.
Yeah. I liked it. There's another one that I think does sort of the same concept, but I think it's a little bit better. It's the main title design for 5 Days of Memorial, where
that's a great one.
That is, I'm actually shocked that that wasn't nominated because it's beautiful and the song is haunting, and you see all these colors like running through, and then you realize that the colors are representing the water flooding into the city, and it's brilliantly done. Apple really dropped the ball on the show. I'm going to say that again. Let me go to the next one, which is, in my opinion, the weakest one here, which is The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power.
That was the one that I couldn't stop looking at because I was like, whoa, whoa.
Do you spill a bag of rice and then like in your kitchen and then spend hours looking at it?
No, well, you know it is? Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know what this reminds me of? You know those old, you guys may be too young for this, but there's these things that now they sell them at Cracker Barrels, but it's like this piece of paper that has a magnet on it somehow, and these like little magnetized flakes, and you take this pen and you can draw, you can put eyebrows on this guy or a mustache or whatever. This is what that reminded me of.
Think of like whenever, like if you're at a psychiatrist or something and they have like, I know like my therapist in college had this little like sandbox that you could just scrape sand with. And that's what it made me think of. But I was waiting for this one to, not to hijack you introducing this, but I was waiting for this one to like, oh, all of the sand forms like glass and a ring or something. I don't know. Like I was waiting for something and then it's just, no, it's still the sand or whatever it's that is.
Sand.
Yeah, and so it never really materializes, which was kind of surprising to me. But I was also something like, I was kind of mesmerized by watching what it was doing. But also at the same time, if you would have told me this is the Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power title sequence, I would have said, no, no. It's The Last of Us.
I think it's just Marie Kondo's worst nightmare.
Dirt. Sad.
Dirt. Ah!
And Joey, what did you think of it?
I hated that. I hated it. I specifically messaged Clarence last night when I was watching all of them, and I said, wow, even the main titles are boring.
It is.
It's going to win. Watch. It's going to win.
No, I don't think it's going to win. But it is one of, it's the only one that as I was watching it, I was immediately typing in the YouTube bar up above of the next one so I could get ready for this. Because I was losing interest in the minute. Like it just was so slow to me. It just didn't tell me anything about the show. Like they don't even form rings that much. I mean, I at least expected the sand to be a ring, but
yeah, you're right.
I don't get it. I really don't get it. But it is boring. But it's a perfect metaphor for the show.
Oh, God.
Moving on. Joey, White Lotus.
The White Lotus. I will say, I know we're not talking about the main title theme, but I've heard the theme specifically for season 2 of The White Lotus played at a gay bar on more than one occasion. Like, it'll be like thump-a-thumping to Britney Spears, then Padam Padam by Kylie Minogue, and then the White Lotus Sicily music will come on, and the faggots run to the dance floor. I love this one. It's a bunch of paintings that really, I mean, it's probably the most seen, most popular one, I guess. Well, I guess saying it's The Last of Us, so that's not really true. But it's a lot of not the word tapestry, but, you know, a lot of Italian artwork that as it goes on, it gets kind of weird. There's like goats humping and then a goose on a lady's chest. I don't know if they're doing it. And then there's like, you know, an insinuation. Maybe there's a murder. There's a woman with a knife and there's hidden people looking at stuff. And all throughout, you have the going on in the background. So this is the winner for me, long story short.
I do think it's the one that's most culturally like influential and memorable.
Yeah, and oh god, when I first got the screeners for the show, I was watching that and I'm like, Joey, there's a fountain and it's erupting in semen.
It looks like a dick. So, like the first couple of weeks when I would watch, you know, that show, like every time the credits would come to a close, I would just go, penis.
Or the animal, you know, you've already mentioned, but the bestiality. I guess it's not humans and animals, but the animals doing it. I mean, it starts off very classy and very sort of Italian Renaissance-y, and then all of a sudden it devolves into like hedonism, which I guess.
Yeah. And there's like a big story about like, you know, they were saying it reveals a lot about the plot. And so, yeah, I remember when the series or the season finale aired, there was like, well, you would have known that if you paid attention to the main titles.
Oh, there you go. Megan, tell us about Wednesday.
It's like everything you know about Wednesday is packed into this sequence. I thought, like, it's like, oh, of course we'd get to see the back of her head, that iconic look, and the violin or cello, is that what she plays? I haven't watched it.
Yeah.
And then it goes into like bugs and stuff, and it just looks like every like goth kid's dream sequence. Yes. I thought it was fine. I thought it was long. I was longer than I expected. But it was like beautifully, like I said, all of these are beautifully done. I was just kind of like, okay, we know all of this about her. But I guess that's the good thing is that people love this show, and if this is what they're going in and they're expecting, and they know what they're expecting. So it's setting them up for that. So in that way, it's a really effective sequence.
Sidebar, I finished the show. It is not good.
Really?
No, it is not good. It is terribly written. Anyway, I just will.
Do you think that is that Jenna Ortega's fault?
She's the writer. I mean, she got saddled. I mean, I will say she's absolutely right about one thing: the romance in it did not work at all. Because,
oh, really?
Yeah, no, the whole thing about Wednesday is she's an ice cold fish, and she has no chemistry with anybody in that show, and maybe she shouldn't, but. I don't know. I mean, the biting dialogue that they have her recite is not biting at all. It's just a pale imitation of Wednesday Addams from the early 90s films.
That's what I kind of figured it would be.
But it's beloved. And I will say, I fully understand why the goth dance number became viral, because it is by far the best thing in it. And then someone pointed out to me that the monster, the central monster of it, looks like one of those creatures in the video game Plants vs. Zombies. I can't not see it. Anyway, a total sidebar. So
I always welcome a sidebar.
Well, I mean, we're not nothing if we don't sidebar. We've gone through all of the 6 nominated titles again: Cabinet of Curiosities, Hello Tomorrow, Last of Us, Rings of Power, White Lotus, and Wednesday. And again, you can find them all on YouTube if you want to weigh in on what you think is the best, and certainly provide commentary on the post here on the website. But what do we think is going to win? What do you think is the front runner?
It's so hard to predict with these. But I would say, given that Game of Thrones has won and Stranger Things has won, I would think the White Lotus would be the front runner because of how iconic that became. I mean, that was like the song of the fall, late summer, early fall. I feel like everybody was rocking out to it. So I feel like because of its cultural significance, that would be the one I would pick. But honestly, any of them, I never know what this.
Joey, what do you think?
I think it's either The White Lotus or The Last of Us. Just because, I don't know. I think that the fandom for The Last of Us, where they're just like, just nominated for everything. I think those people are just going to be like peeing their pants to vote for it again. And it is very thematic in what it does. Even though I think The White Lotus probably edges it out, but I would say that The Last of Us is right on its heels. I do think that it's interesting that Cabinet of Curiosities, Lord of the Rings, and Wednesday are also nominated for main title theme music. That sort of doesn't mean anything.
No, because White Lotus wasn't eligible.
Yeah. I mean, also, it won that category last year. It's just a different arrangement of the same song. But yeah, I think White Lotus and Last of Us are neck and neck.
But it wasn't nominated for the title suite sequence last year, right?
No, it was not. But it wasn't as thematic.
No, but it was still something. Wallpaper. It was still something everybody loved, though. Too. That's what I think is interesting.
Yeah, I agree. I think when I was looking at them before we started talking about it, I think my prediction would have been The White Lotus. And then when you kind of start to think about the whole Game of Thrones of it all, I'm wondering if a spoiler isn't Cabinet of Curiosities. But then The Last of Us kind of operates in that middle ground where it's kind of artistic and it also has that swooping camera motion. You know, if you look at the winner from last year, which was Severance, they do tend, we talk about this, you know, a couple of times with like, I think, Catch Point or the Manhattan?
Oh.
Counterpoint. They do tend to like more artistic touches, like dots and stuff like that. But there really isn't anything abstract like that this year. Maybe Rings of Power. Watch it win.
I'll fucking die.
But I don't know. I'm wondering if it's... I think I would probably predict The White Lotus still, just because they weren't recognized last year. It is a beloved show. And it is... It has that thematic component that I think they like.
I think there... When I was watching these last night, after a while, I saved White Lotus for last because I just wanted to, you know, dance to the bop again. But the next video that played right after it was a gay choir singing that with like a very, I'm going to presume here that she's a lesbian. I'm probably wrong. So send your hate mail to me. She sings like the lead on it, but the audience went fucking nuts for that. So who knows?
All right. Very good. Anything else we want to talk about with the main title design?
I think American Horror Story and Bad Sisters and Big Door Prize and Shrinking. I almost went through every single thing that was eligible, but that would take up too much time. Those all should have been in there too. Better than Rings of Power. Just wanted to say that.
Oh, and 5 Days of Memorial.
Yeah, 5 Days of Memorial. That's a great one.
Yeah. All right. Very good. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to revisit some of our favorite categories as we lead up into the nothingness of the fall. We will revisit our favorite categories, talk about the nominees, and do some predictions. And of course, don't forget the Cooler Awards. Voting window opens mid-August. Probably August the 18th or whenever the same window as the Television Academy. And of course, we're going to continue having craft awards interviews as everybody else is observing the SAG and Writers Guild strikes. So we're going to be offering a lot of craft interviews over the next couple of weeks as we lead up into the close of the Emmy season. All right. So let's move to the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. And Joey, why don't you go first?
Sure. I randomly got screeners to the new season of The Morning Show. And I didn't watch the second season, so I kind of want to be a dick.
What?
What do you mean, what? So I have those. Maybe I'll watch it. I need to finish Wednesday, which what a ringing endorsement from Clarence. I'm not sure how fast I'm going to go. I'm excited to watch Barbie again. So, yeah, that's all. We'll see. I have no idea. No plans. No nothing. I have no idea.
I will say another thing about Wednesday. I wish you would have tried less to be Harry Potter and more to be its own thing. Oh, I got
really. That's interesting. Yeah, that's how I feel about Willy Wonka.
Yeah, there you go. I also have season 3 screeners to The Morning Show with heavily airbrushed pictures of Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston.
How dare you? How dare you, sir? I have them too. I was just looking. They kind of do look airbrushed, you're right, but
that is not reasonable.
They don't need to be airbrushed. They're beautiful.
No, they are
beautiful.
Women.
They're beautiful women, but I mean, those pictures, come on.
You can see some guy being like, why do they look so angry?
Smile, honey.
We also have screeners to Lessons in Chemistry, which I started a couple of, I watched the first 5 minutes of the first episode and I'm like, oh, she's going to be really good. So I take back what I said about Betty Gilpin.
Oh, yay. Okay. I know that my mom has been bugging me to read that book and you have been bugging me to read that book. So that's next on my list. But I've been finishing something else in the meantime when we get to my week, what I'm looking forward to.
Well, that's an excellent segue, which by the way, I will say good for you, Brie Larson. Follow up. But that's an excellent segue. Why don't you go next?
So I'm reading right now this really fun book by Maureen Lenker. I don't know if I mentioned this before. It's called It Happened One Fight. And she's a writer for Entertainment Weekly. And it's a swoony romantic comedy, as it's described, set in like the world of 1930s film. And Joan Davis is this movie star who hates her frequent co-star. They've done like 7 movies together, Dash Howard. And he's kind of like a George Clooney type who pulls pranks on people. And one of his pranks was that he was going to they had to sign like a wedding certificate for a movie. And he was going to make it seem like they actually did get married and show it to her. But somebody mailed it in and they actually are married. So that's like so they have to like stay married until they can get trying to get a divorce in Reno where they're also filming a movie. And it's just really cute. It makes you think of like a screwball comedy from the time period and like Cary Grant and again, and Katherine Hepburn. So it's fun. And then TV wise, I would like to watch The Morning Show, the new show. And then I'm also going to check out Adult Swim's Teenage Euthanasia. Because I just got to talk to the executive producer today because they were traveling across the country in a pink hearse and they made a stop in Pittsburgh. And it's a show that seems like it would be really cool to watch. And just I kind of like that we don't have anything too pressing right now because I'm like getting to watch things that I haven't watched in a while, like my 30 Rock rewatch, or just exploring things that I might not have had time to get to. So, and then I also need to see Mission Impossible still. And that's about it, I think.
There's a lot of shows that I didn't even know existed right here on this Apple page, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like I've wanted to catch up to Bad Sisters. We have screeners to a new one called The Changeling with Lakeith Stanfield. I've heard a lot of things, mostly bad, but I've heard a lot of things about The Crowded Room. Don't know if I have time for that, but who knows, maybe if there's no television shows or movies to watch because everything is moving out of 2023 into 2024, maybe I'll catch up to it. I mean, there's so much coming out on Apple. I'd like to see Hello Tomorrow because apparently it's not canceled. Lessons in Chemistry.
You heard it here first. Right, yeah. Not canceled. Canceled, not canceled. Clarence Boy.
Yeah. Season two of The Morning Show, so I can prepare for season three.
I can't believe you bitches didn't watch it. I did.
I don't think I finished.
It's not great.
It is not good.
It was interesting. I respect it for just like kind of that show is a show that just kind of gives the middle finger to everybody. It's like, we're going to do what we want. They're also interesting storylines that a lot of shows are afraid to do. I always say they're the most ballsy show on TV.
I remember you saying that. Mm-hmm. There was one other thing.
And no one quoted me about it either.
Yeah, I couldn't forget that you said that.
Sorry. That'll be the last time I say it.
Anyway, what am I looking forward to this week? Well, I have a screener that as soon as we hang up, I'm going to finish watching for theater camp. I might try to go see Barbie or Oppenheimer, or Oppenheimer, as my son says. I'm like, when did you move to Canada? What's that?
I just said Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer. I know. What? Get out with that. On TV, I have been catching up to Marvel's Secret Invasion, which is on Disney+, a show that I've heard nothing but terrible things about. And I watched the first episode last night and I was very surprised. I liked it. It's got Samuel L. Jackson in it. It's got Olivia Colman in it. It's got Emilia Clarke in it. And Ben Mendelsohn, Emmy winner Ben Mendelsohn, who won an Emmy for his previous season of Bloodline in the third season. What's not to like? I think it was totally fine what I saw. Maybe it gets terrible. And I continue to read the ill-timed Prince of Tides, which the section that I read into last week and in last week was all about death and funerals and horrible family things. So I put that down for a little bit. But it's a really great book. I know why a lot of people don't talk about it now. I think someone is making a limited series of it, which I think the movie could never do this justice. Because this is a sprawling, like 600-page novel that takes place in multiple decades, and you just can't make that into a movie. But it could be a great limited series, so we'll find out sometime next year, I assume. All right, does that cover it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's get the hell out of here. So we are the 3 M's, contributors Joey Moser, Megan McLaughlin, and me, Clarence Moy, thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find us, and wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow.